Penguin Random House Audio presents A is for Alibi by Sue Grafton. Read by Mary Pfeiffer.
For my father, Chip Grafton, who set me on this path. Chapter 1. My name is Kinsey Milhone. I'm a private investigator, licensed by the state of California. I'm 32 years old, twice divorced, no kids. The day before yesterday, I killed someone, and the fact weighs heavily on my mind. I'm a nice person, and I have a lot of friends. My apartment is small, but I like living in a cramped space. I've lived in trailers most of my life, but lately they've been getting too elaborate for my taste, so now I live in one room, a bachelorette. I don't have pets. I don't have houseplants. I spend a lot of time on the road, and I don't like leaving things behind. Aside from the hazards of my profession, my life has always been ordinary, uneventful, and good. Killing someone feels odd to me, and I haven't quite sorted it through. I've already given a statement to the police, which I initialed page by page and then signed. I filled out a similar report for the office files. The language in both documents is neutral, the terminology oblique, and neither says quite enough. Nikki Five first came to my office 3 weeks ago. I occupy one small corner of a large suite of offices that house the California Fidelity Insurance Company, for whom I once worked. Our connection now is rather loose. I do a certain number of investigations for them in exchange for two rooms with a separate entrance and a small balcony overlooking the main street of Santa Teresa. I have an answering service to pick up calls when I'm out, and I keep my own books. I don't earn a lot of money, but I make ends meet. I'd been out for most of the morning, only stopping by the office to pick up my camera. Nikki Fife was standing in the corridor outside my office door. I'd never really met her, but I'd been present at her trial 8 years before when she was convicted of murdering her husband, Lawrence, a prominent divorce attorney here in town. Nikki was in her late 20s then, with striking white blonde hair, dark eyes, and flawless skin. Her lean face had filled out some, probably the result of prison food with its high starch content, but she still had the ethereal look that had made the accusation of murder seem so incongruous at the time. Her hair had grown out now to its natural shade, a brown so pale that it appeared nearly colorless. She was maybe 35, 36, and the years at the California Institute for Women had left no visible lines. I didn't say anything at first, just opened the door and let her in. "You know who I am," she said. "I worked for your husband a couple of times." She studied me carefully. "Was that the extent of it?" I knew what she meant. "I was also there in court when you were being tried," I said. "But if you're asking if I was involved with him personally, the answer is no. He wasn't my type. No offense. Would you like coffee?" She nodded, relaxing almost imperceptibly. I pulled the coffee pot from the bottom of the file cabinet and filled it from the Sparklet's water bottle behind the door. I liked it that she didn't protest the trouble I was going to. I put in a filter paper and ground coffee and plugged in the pot. The gurgling sound was comforting, like the pump in an aquarium. Nikki sat very still, almost as though her emotional gears had been disengaged. She had no nervous mannerisms, didn't smoke or twist her hair. I sat down in my swivel chair. "When were you released?"
"A week ago."
"What's freedom feel like?" She shrugged.
"It feels good, I guess, but I can survive the other way, too. Better than you'd think."
I took a small carton of half and half out of the little refrigerator to my right. I keep clean mugs on top, and I turned one over for each of us, filling them when the coffee was done. Nikki took hers with a murmured thanks.
"Maybe you've heard this one before," she went on. "But I didn't kill Lawrence, and I want you to find out who did.
Why wait this long? You could have initiated an investigation from prison, and maybe saved yourself some time.
She smiled faintly. I've been claiming I was innocent for years. Who'd believe me? The minute I was indicted, I lost my credibility. I want that back, and I want to know who did me in. I had thought her eyes were dark, but I could see now that they were a metallic gray. Her look was level, flattened out, as though some interior light were growing dim. She seemed to be a lady without much hope. I had never believed she was guilty myself, but I couldn't remember what had made me so sure. She seemed passionless, and I couldn't imagine her caring enough about anything to kill.
You want to fill me in?
She took a sip of coffee and then set the mug on the edge of my desk. I was married to Lawrence for 4 years, a little more than that. He was unfaithful after the first 6 months. I don't know why it came as such a shock. Actually, that's how I got involved with him. When he was with his first wife, being unfaithful to her with me. There's a sort of egotism attached to being a mistress, I suppose. Anyway, I never expected to be in her shoes, and I didn't like it much.
According to the prosecutor, that's why you killed him.
Look, they needed a conviction. I was it, she said with the first sign of energy. I've just spent the last 8 years with killers of one kind or another, and believe me, the motive isn't apathy. You kill people you hate, or you kill in rage, or you kill to get even. But you don't kill someone you're indifferent to. By the time Lawrence died, I didn't give a damn about him. I fell out of love with him the first time I found out about the other women. It took me a while to get it all out of my system.
And that's what the diary was all about? I asked.
Sure, I kept track at first. I detailed every infidelity. I listened in on phone calls. I followed him around town. Then he started being more cautious about the whole thing, and I started losing interest. I just didn't give a shit. The flush had crept up to her cheeks, and I gave her a moment to compose herself. I know it looked like I killed him out of jealousy or rage, but I didn't care about that stuff. By the time he died, I just wanted to get on with my own life. I was going back to school, minding my own business. He went his way, and I went mine. Her voice trailed off.
Who do you think killed him?
I think a lot of people wanted to. Whether they did or not is another matter. I mean, I could make a couple of educated guesses, but I don't have proof of anything. Which is why I'm here.
Why come to me?
She flushed again slightly. I tried the two big agencies in town, and they turned me down. I came across your name in Lawrence's old Rolodex. I thought there was a certain kind of irony hiring someone he had once hired himself. I did check you out. With Con Dolan down at Homicide.
I frowned. It was his case, wasn't it?
Nicky nodded. Yes, it was. He said you had a good memory. I don't like having to explain everything from scratch.
What about Dolan? Does he think you're innocent?
I doubt it, but then again, I did my time, so what's it to him?
I studied her for a moment. She was forthright, and what she said made sense. Lawrence Fife had been a difficult man. I hadn't been all that fond of him myself. If she was guilty, I couldn't see why she would stir it all up again. Her ordeal was over now, and her so-called debt to society had been taken off the books, except for whatever remaining parole she had to serve.
Let me think about it some, I said. I can get in touch with you later today and let you know.
I'd appreciate that. I do have money, whatever it takes.
I don't want to be paid to rehash old business, Mrs. Fife. Even if we find out who did it, we have to make it stick, and that could be tough after all this time. I'd like to check back through the files and see how it looks.
She took a manila folder out of her big leather bag. I have some newspaper clippings. I can leave those with you if you like. That's the number where I can be reached.
We shook hands.
Hers was cool and slight, but her grip was strong.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?